Good evening, Wayne. How are you? Welcome to Radio Verulam.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciated. Thanks for spending some time chatting with me.
No problem. Your career, Wayne, had some very good points, had some not so good points, shall we say, and walk-on music, I must say, one of the best that I've seen, especially the way you run down the aisle through the crowd.
Look, it was always it was just a bit of fun. It was to get the crowd on my side, basically. I think that, look, they're a huge talking point right now, because there's been some kind of, with a lockdown and whatever, there's been some tournaments without fans, and I've always been one to try to get them on my side. And if there was any people in the audience that just come to watch darts but didn't really know who to support, I tried to win them over. So by the time you needed another dart, they were sitting there waiting for you. And let me tell you, when the crowd are on your back, it's horrible. When they're with you, they really can help. But I used to do it for a bit of fun and just entertainment, really. But it got them on my side, which was a plus.
So I've seen that sort of through the Premier League and other tournaments that I've actually attended. And it is, if you do have, say, the fans on your back, like, it does happen. It's happened with Phil Taylor plenty of times. It's happened with Michael Van Gerwen, Gerwin Price, you name it. I think it's happened to all of them, hasn't it? But when the crowd are against you, it is something that really gets on the back of the players, isn't it?
It's difficult, let me tell you that. The thing is, in life, right, we all kind of want to be liked, don't we? We all kind of want people to think, oh, he's a nice guy or nice lady. We just want to, it's kind of vindication for what you're doing, and people, you want them to like everything about you. And do you know what? You can't be liked by everyone. It's just not the way of the world. And when you have got a 10,000 people that want you to lose, I tell you what, it takes a pretty thick-skinned person to just brush it off. It's not simple. The easiest way, of course, is to just go up there, forget all about it, and win. But we're human beings. We're not that thick-skinned. We're not all mentally strong, and it is difficult. It is difficult. But look, as a professional kind of sportsman, I've been there, I've seen it, and I've coped with it. And at times you're thinking, how did I get through it? How did I get through it? And I remember being in Scotland once. It was absolutely horrendous. And for the whole sort of 45, 50 minutes I was on stage, I wanted to get off. And I come off eventually. And I'm thinking, I couldn't put up with anything now. No matter what you throw at me. And literally, they were throwing coins and drinks at me. It was a learning experience, put it that way. But yeah, it's not very pleasant, I can assure you.
So what have your, obviously that's mostly a low point for you. What are some of the high points in your career personally?
I won a dozen ranking events. So each one of those had a special meaning. Each one of those meant something different. The first ranking event win was the Dutch Open back in 2000. That was just a massive win for lots of reasons. But I'd just been beaten in the World Championships on my debut in the BDO. And it was a real blow. It was a real bitter blow, because I knew I was good enough to have a run, even though it was my debut. And I come unstuck in the first round against Matt Clark. And then just a few weeks after that was the Dutch Open. And I happened to win it. And there was 3,500 participants. It was gigantic. And it still is. It still is. So that was the first. And the others had all special meanings. But look, I've won loads of kind of games on TV. But do you know what? The memory is nothing like you think I'm going to say. It's not a World Championship game. It's not any game on TV. It's when I represented England for the first time, my country of birth. And do you know what? It was just the team camaraderie that we had. We were a great bunch of lads, the likes of Steve Beaton, Ted Hankey, Martin Adams. like absolute world superstars. And I just loved every minute of it. And my memories to this day are really vivid. And yeah, just a fantastic weekend.
Because this, the darts as a whole, hasn't it? It's gone from being throwing a few arrows with your mates in a pub. It's gone from that to something phenomenal that Barry Hearn's taken on, hasn't it? And it's got so big now, and there's tournament after tournament all through the year.
Yeah, the sponsorships that come in now to produce the money, if you like, and Sky Sports that actually do the production, as well as ITV and other channels, they want part of it because it's watched all over the world. And it's now a bona fide sport that can make you millions. And look, I've seen kids of 7, 8, 9, 10 years of age saying that I want to be a world champion. I want to be rich and famous. And I'm thinking, hold on, this is taken over from football in the 80s when the kids were pushed into, right, you play football, you do this. Oh, there's a scout watching my boy or my girl. And it's kind of got a bit like that. And yeah, some of it is wrong. I don't like it. I don't like the way that kids are being pushed, because their mum and dads know that, look, there's big paydays and there's big endorsements there waiting for them. And there's a young kid that's kind of around at the moment, Leighton Bennett, who's only kind of 13, on the verge of 14 years of age. He's been world class for the last year and a bit, 2 years. And I just hope that he's looked after and we see all that talent come to fruition and he does become a world champ. But it's going to be really difficult for the likes of him and others. There's a young girl called Beau Greaves who's 16 years of age. She's world class. She really is already. And they need to be looked after. They really do. And it's difficult because everyone wants a piece of them because they will be the next darting superstars.
So where would they fit generally in the darting pyramid, if you like? Would they go straight, do you think, would they go straight to PDC or BDO? What sort of path can they take?
Well, they're not actually old enough to play in the PDC. You have to be 16 years of age. So that's a real kind of difficult one. But all they can do is just carry on playing in Opens. Leighton Bennett and Beau Greaves have both played in World Championships in the BDO system that's now folded. So that they'll have to play somewhere else, which is a real shame for amateur dart players. Once the World Darts Federation gets up and running with their big events, they seem to have taken over from the BDO, which is great. So the amateurs have got somewhere to play, but just it's not all as certain as it used to be. So all these kids can do, all these amateurs can do, is just hope that the World Darts Federation, the WDF, kind of uphold the promises that they've been spouting. And if they do, then amateur darts is back on the rise again. Because look, without amateur darts, you don't have professional sport. And that's how important the amateur side of the game is. And as for the kids, they've just got to find somewhere to play. But like I said, they've got to be looked after by friends, family, and those that are giving them sponsorship and endorsements.
Is there anything like with the PDC that you're aware of that may sort of take in these younger kids to which the BDO and these other tournaments used to do? Do you think, will they be picked up by the World Darts Federation, or would it just be a case of waiting to see?
Well, what the PDC have done, they've got a development tour, which is basically for the youngsters. It's for 16 to 25 year olds. And that's a real good learning curve for anyone, because there's some incredible talent in that pool, let me tell you. So you have the development tour, then they move on to the challenge tour, and then the actual professional circuit, which is the pro tour. So the PDC have kind of got it worked out, but it's still very... it's still quite elitist in that way. You've still got to have the money to do it, whereas the Opens are just that little bit kind of cheaper, and you're not so invested. It can be more, slightly more fun if you're going down the amateur route. But yeah, the Development Tour and Challenge Tour is just below, and those for that are on the rise to become a tour card holder eventually. So there's loads of things in place, but it's just making sure that if you're doing it for fun, have fun. If you want to do it for a living, which a lot of people do, you'll find out whether you're good enough real soon. You'll soon get found out if you're not.
And going back to fans at darts, how with the tournaments back up and running in one shape or another, even though like they're crammed into a diary, if you like, which is sort of one after the other without those couple of days break at the moment, isn't it, really? It must be, and a lot of them being based is at Milton Keynes, isn't it? It's all been sort of condensed down into sort of the UK to a point, hasn't it? How has that been without fans?
It's been different. I wasn't at the World Match Play, but I was at the 10 nights of the Premier League that took place. There were 6 nights, then a 2-day break, then another 4 nights, and it was an odd atmosphere. It felt was just staged. It was contrived. It wasn't normal. And there was a few players that come out and said this just feels alien, which of course it would do. Gedewin Price was one that said, I'm having trouble with this. I've got to get used to it. Nathan Aspinall was another. Michael van Gerwen said it just felt a bit awkward and a bit odd. And of course he's right. Yeah. He's right. But this week the weekend just gone was the World Series finals in Austria. And there was a crowd of 500 there, all socially distanced. Of course it was done brilliantly by the PDC, and look, it was a good event. But the irony, this is quite funny, that the irony of it is that there were some people in the crowd that were whistling to put Gedewin Price off. And you know, when you're thinking, it's the first tournament back since the Premier League had the break in March with fans, and now they want them to be quiet. The players can't have it always. Unfortunately, you're going to get the odd idiot that does whistle or jeer at the wrong time because they've had a couple of quid on a bet for said player to lose. But I just can't wait for things to get back to normal. Hopefully, Neil, things do get back to normal, whatever the new normal is, because the sport of darts needs fans. It won't last a year without them, because look, they pay the wages. Pay the wages. The PDC just look after the money.
So talking about darts behind closed doors as such, how did it all work out? I never actually saw any of it, to be fair, with the darts at home. It was a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
And how did that pan out?
Well, it was a brilliant concept. There was a few people doing it. There was a guy called Jason Tame who owns Modus Darts. He kind of started it kind of mid-March, early April, just after lockdown. And then the PDC did their PDC home tour. And basically, it was just done through the internet, people playing at home. And obviously now with darts is quite unique in the way that you can play distance games. It's not like a game of snooker where the balls are rattling around everywhere. Darts is just, it's your turn, it's my turn, it's your turn. And as long as it was done legitimately with no shenanigans going on, no cheating, it was always going to work, and it did work, and it was great, I've got to say. And the actual winner of the home tour of the PDC, Low Six, I think, sponsored it, was Nathan Aspinall. And he made a plate for himself. Obviously, there was no trophy because it was all behind closed doors. So he got a dinner plate and wrote home tour champ on it. So he just held up this little dinner plate with a sharpie written kind of home tour champ. It was all played in good fun, but again, it keeps the guys competitive and it worked really well. And there'd be more of that. There has to be more of that. I'll tell you why, because it worked. It worked.
So with that in mind, if you like, where did that leave people like yourself sort of going forward with this lockdown? Because it predominantly, if you like, put you out of a job technically for a period of time.
Yeah, it kind of did.
Commentator.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And look, I was fortunate. I was doing some commentary for Paddy Power, because they were doing a lot of darts matches with Phil Taylor, Raymond van Barneveld, Fallon Sherrock as well. And I was doing the commentary for them, so it was fine. But Sky Sports, who I'm employed by, that they were absolutely fantastic to all their employees. And do you know what? I was actually looking forward to more time off. Going back to work was a real blow.
It has been a funny time. And how have the players felt? How have the players got through it? Because obviously, normally you've got people like Michael van Gerwen sort of trains with, or and whatever with Michael Vincent Barneville, Vincent van van der Voorn. How did they find that? Because that wasn't possible. They couldn't do their norm. There was no normal, was there, for a player?
No, that's right. There was no normal, and there still isn't a normal, but we're just kind of, like everyone in the world, we're just kind of muddling through. But yeah, it was hard for the players, and I'm close friends with Dave Chisnell's manager, Roger Skaner, and I was chatting to him just today, and he said in Austria, he said, because there was 5 days of Pro Tour events, and he said you could see that the break has done some of them just no good whatsoever. Even though there's been events, there's been Premier League events and the World Match Play, but that's for the elite of the game. You've got another kind of 96 players that wouldn't have competed at all. And a lot of them are struggling. And you can practice all you like and feel great about your game, but it's that game on kind of syndrome where all of a sudden the pressure's on. All of a sudden, you're feeling under pressure that you haven't felt in the last 6 months. And you've got to get used to it again. And some do quicker than others, obviously. But it's no surprise that those that are winning the events are the best players that have played in the Premier League. And because they were playing night after night on the big stage in front of the television cameras, and they were match fit. They were match ready, and it's all about holding it together under pressure. And when you're not used to it, which a lot of the guys are not now, it's a case of taking their time to get back into the swing of things. And you can tell that some of them, with their performances, have just not been up to kind of, let's call it pre-pandemic lockdown. Some of them have just not been at the races.
And going back just to, you were talking about the fall down of the BDO, it's nice to see now that PDC are bringing the females into the darting world with Fallon Sherrock and a few others.
Yeah, if I'm honest, this should have happened decades ago. It really has just, it's kind of dragged on and eventually they've caught up. No offence to the PDC, but there was calls for doing this sort of 10, 15 years ago. The likes of Fallon Sherrock, Lisa Ashton, Beau Greaves, who I've already mentioned, Makuru Suzuki, Anastasia Dobromyslova, look, they are absolutely world-class dart players. And the thing is, where there's a misconception about the PDC is that people are saying, oh, they need a women's division. No, it's open. It's open to anyone. It's the Professional Darts Corporation. It's not the Men's World Championship. It's the World Darts Championship. That's what it is. That's why Lisa Ashton was allowed in it, Fallon Sherrick, Makuru Suzuki, which is why they've been allowed to play. Lisa Ashton has a tour card, which is incredible that she achieved to get that. That's she throws some standard, let me tell you. And I for one have been sort of campaigning that women get their faces on TV more, because it's a brilliant product. They can throw some awesome darts, and I would just like to see them more often play each other, because I think that would go down an absolute treat on TV.
And with a number of other players coming from the BDO, would you say that was the right time for them to move, knowing what's going on now?
Well, I actually feel for the women now, because there's actually not a tour for them to play on. The most the tour that Lisa Ashton plays on is ridiculous. It's the Pro Tour. It's the hardest tour in the world, and she's qualified to play on that. The likes of Fallon Sherrick, who doesn't have a tour card, all she can do is play Opens. That's all she can do. So she needs to find somewhere to play. Or just play absolutely anywhere, play everywhere. Just put your money in, drive to a tournament somewhere and play. That's all she can do. But like I said, a lot depends on what the World Darts Federation can pull out their hat. If they can get some big events on, then darts again for the amateur side. And even though Fallon Sherrick and Lisa Ashton, Makuru Suzuki are not amateurs, unfortunately, they have to play in an amateur system. Apart from Lisa, of course, because she's got a tour card through the PDC. But that's the most difficult way for her to earn a living, because she's playing the best players in the world. So her success could actually end up costing her money in the long run, which is just... it's ridiculous, but that's just the way it is. She's gone down the difficult route.
So just moving on quickly to darts going forward, how do you see things panning out?
Well, first off,
from your perspective.
Yeah, we've got to get this pandemic out of the way. And I'm talking about in life now rather than just darts. So I think everyone's in the same boat, Neil. We don't know what we're doing, do we? From week to week, we don't know what's happening in the world. We don't know. We can't make plans. As the saying goes, man makes plans, God laughs. And that just seems to be the way it is. And we can't arrange to have events anywhere. We can't arrange our little breaks away with a dog or whatever you want to do. We can't really meet up in the garden with friends and family. That's kind of a no-no. So, look, all we can do right now is just plough on, and hopefully when this ends, the world of darts gets back to normal, because in a great place. It was, there was sponsors wanting to take up big events again. There was talk of having more women involved in the game. There was all sorts of kind of happenings, and the world of darts was rife with quality players, and it still is. But I just feel for them, because the fans want to go and watch darts, and the players want the fans to be there. But unfortunately, the world in which we live in, it just can't happen for now. What the new normal becomes, I don't know. It's just so much uncertainty in life and in the world of sport as well. It's what do we do? What can we do?
It's just a waiting and see game, isn't it, at the moment, really?
It is, yeah. And I feel for the PDC. Their CEO, Matt Porter, has been so good. He's just been great. He really has. He's they even... the PDC even arranged loans through the PDPA, which is the Professional Darts Players Association. If a player needed a loan, they could get one from the PDC via the PDPA to get themselves out of trouble. Look, not every professional darts player is earning a lot of money. It's always top heavy. So they stood up and were counted there. They're getting these events on so the players can earn some money, because at the moment, with no one, what's saying at the moment, just that the one event has brought in some income for them. That was the World Series with the 500 people that I alluded to. But at the moment, they're running at a loss, the PDC, but they continue to put events on. Yeah. And credit to them, because they deserve a pat on the back. They're still churning out a sport when it's more or less impossible to do so, but they're doing brilliantly.
Mm. Two more questions for you. One is your thoughts on, I know it's been a year or so now, retirement of Phil Taylor and what he brought to the game. For one question.
We'll go for that one. Look, I'm a massive fan of Phil, and I've actually said to him, to his face before. He said, I just want to thank you, Phil. He said, and he was like, why is that? I said, you've earned me a living. Without you, I don't think the sport is where it is. I don't think it's the prize money would have been there, obviously. I don't think these players would have been household names. I don't think I would have been in the commentary box, because maybe the sport would have died with him. He's left a legacy, and a lot of the players have to kind of sit back and think of this as well. Without Phil Taylor, I'm not saying one man's bigger than the sport. I would never say that, but it's a one man driven sport, or it was. And a bit like golf, when Tiger was out the game for a couple of years, the viewing figures dropped massively. They dropped massively. And darts is now back on an even keel, or it was pre-March. But I don't think you can overestimate the importance of Phil Taylor within the world of darts. And look, even at the weekend, they were singing, there's only one Phil Taylor. He hasn't thrown a competitive dart since 2018. That's what a legacy he's left.
Mm. And he was the one who made the switch, wasn't he, to sort of introduce a PDC, if you like, and everybody else sort of followed the Gary Andersons, James Wades, if you like. They all followed into what is now something massive.
Yeah, Phil and I think there was 14 of them made the decision that there wasn't enough big events, televised events, within the BDO system back in the late 80s. And it rumbled through court proceedings to 1993. And then the World Darts Council was formed that changed to the PDC. So WDC to the PDC changed. That kind of was kind of rumbling on, getting bigger and bigger. And then Barry Earn come in about 2000, 2001, I believe, and made it bigger and better. And it is what it is today, for lots of reasons. It's because Barry Earn coming in, it's because of his team, it's because of the officials in place, it's because of the fans that keep turning up. But most of all, it's the product. It's because of Sky Sports. It's because of ITV. It's because of BBC. Back in the day, they made it a televised sport. They made it. They made the viewer want to watch the sport. But the reason that people wanted to watch it is because of the product, and that's the players. The players are always the most important thing. They always are. They always will be. Without those being world class and brilliant beyond belief sometimes, then they won't be watched as often as they are. But right now, there's a glut of brilliance in the top eight, top 10, and long may it continue.
And talking of brilliant players, what is the latest on your potential comeback?
No. There is no potential comeback. Stop this. Always rumours on Twitter with this. Wayne, you're playing Q score again. No, I'm not. Look, I'll tell you what, Neil. I'm a very happy man. I'm content. I've had my day. Five world semi-finals, a dozen ranking events, three major finals. Even I was stopped by Phil every time. look, I've got a real good job with Sky Sports. I have my own darts coaching school. I do loads of corporate gigs. Do you know what? Life couldn't be better. Life couldn't be better. And what I don't want to do is jeopardize that by turning up week in, week out and getting beat on tour. Not for me. Right. The rumors stop now. Now.
So what's next for you in the world of darts and next event coming up?
Yeah, we have the World Grand Prix that's normally in Dublin. But obviously because of the pandemic now, things have changed. So it's going to be a behind closed doors event in the Ricoh Arena in Coventry. That's the double in, double start event that starts on the 6th of October, runs for a week. So we'll be there. And then after that, for me personally, will be the Grand Slam a few weeks later. But it's a real busy time for the players. They've got so many big events. Like I said, you've got the Grand Prix, the Grand Slam, the Players' Championship on ITV, the European Championships on ITV as well. And it all culminates in the end of December, or the middle of December, the 13th, at Alexandra Palace. Now, Matt Poulter, again, who I said has done a fantastic job, he's promised that the event will be at Alexandra Palace. But... he does not know if there's going to be a crowd or not. I really hope so, because playing the World Championships behind closed doors will just feel even more odd than ever, even more awkward. And it could make for a lesser spectacle. And it's the World Championships, so I really hope not.
Well, that week or two, or three even, of darts, you get some characters turn up, don't you? You get anything from, wow.
Well, yeah,
all
you
I'm
do.
Going to say is Wayne's World of Darts.
Yeah, that's right. And it was quite funny because a couple of years ago, there was a guy that, or him and his mate actually, and they just sat there. But they had these, it was kind of I'm going to say yellow and brown outfit kind of over their head. And they were sitting at the front of the, like the bank of seats. They weren't actually sitting at a table. And as you kind of looked at them, you're thinking, what is happening here? Well, they were inflating themselves and they become giraffes. So they were wearing inflatable giraffes. So like outfits. So those that were anywhere behind them just couldn't see a thing. They ended up being about 20 feet tall. And, you know, you're thinking, what on earth's going on? And they were told in no uncertain terms to deflate yourself. Just deflate yourself. Oh, it was absolutely hilarious. But look, that's what the World Championships has become. It's become a spectacle like that. But come the latter stages, it really is all business. It's all business. And I don't know what kind of business that the PDC are gonna get out of it. If there isn't a crowd, I admire them for still staging the event. And Sky Sports are definitely going to film it if it goes ahead. So they will be the broadcasters and PDC will put the players in place. But also we need to think of is all the players from all over the globe. How are they going to get there? Can they quarantine? Look, there's so many things that need to be sorted out. Logistically, it's an absolute nightmare for Matt Poulter and his team. And I'm glad it's them and not me.
And they're going to have to start, I suppose, thinking about that now, aren't they? And trying to work it with all the other events that are going on.
Yeah, they are. I could assure you, Matt Poulter's on the case. He's very astute. He's very astute. And the players are in good hands with him. So I'm looking forward to a great event at the Grand Prix. I'm looking forward to a great event at the Grand Slam. But the Worlds, I would just love an audience there. Just to take in the spectacle and just to be part of the show, because like I've said before, without the players, you have no sport, but without the fans, there is no prize money. There is no sport. There is no atmosphere. There's no nothing. It can't carry on crowdless, because it won't be the spectacle that it is.
And an idea for Sky Sports, if you want to put it forward, make sure you put a camera on the top of the giraffe.
Yeah. Yeah, giraffe cam.
That's it, yeah. I could get some unusual shots, most probably.
Yeah, you will, don't you? Yeah, especially from the bar.
Yeah, it could be a good one, couldn't it?
It could be.
Wayne, it's been a pleasure, as always.
No, thank you, Neil, thank you.
That's no problem at all. And good luck and keep yourself safe. And hopefully we'll speak to you again soon.
Yeah, definitely. And keep safe to all the listeners and just social distance and just be well.
Okay. Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye-bye.